preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quakes on Blog Talk Radio.
God, we thank you that you have revealed yourself in so many ways through the scriptures, through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, through, God, the holy, holy Bible that you've left us, your inspired, infallible word. And Lord, you established the church. So Lord, I ask you, Lord, to bless this service, to speak to our hearts and to change our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. We welcome everyone to Fire and Grace Church this morning. Those of you here, those listening by Blog Talk Radio and on Facebook Live, had a little issue with the internet this morning, so couldn't set up Mixler. Huh? You got it? Okay, good deal. So we're on Mixler as well. This morning, I simply entitled this message, The Church of Jesus Christ. Going to cover a lot of scripture this morning, so get your Bible out. And Kevin, there's going to be a lot more than I sent you. So, but first and foremost, let's start this morning in Matthew chapter 16. And some of this will be things that I've mentioned before and I've talked about before. But, we live in a time of the falling away, the apostasy that the Apostle Paul prophesied in the last days. And so many churches are really, there's so many out there now that are counterfeit churches. So many are, just part of the apostasy. But that doesn't mean that the church of Jesus Christ, the true church, doesn't exist. Now, this morning, I'm going to talk about, there's really two aspects to the church. There's the body of Christ at large, which means any born-again Christian that's been baptized and has made Jesus Lord of their lives, any born-again Christian is technically part of the church, the body of Christ. But what I'm going to be talking about this morning is more about the local church and your relationship you're supposed to have with the local church as a Christian. And this is important because right now there are a lot of big buildings around, big denominations, big churches, mega churches. There's a lot of things that out there calling themselves the Church of Jesus Christ, but really they're not. They're counterfeit. Sadly, they're deceiving many Christians. Many Christians that are well, have good intentions, are being duped by these places. So it's important that we always go back and kind of redefine, what is a Christian? Sometimes we just need to define that, right? Especially in this crazy culture of ours. What is a Christian? What is a church? You say it's like, what was it Vince Lombardi used to do, the great football coach of the Green Bay Packers? What did he say? When his team would start getting off base, start losing and acting stupid, doing things they shouldn't be doing, and he would always take them back. He'd sit down and say, this is a football. Now, they knew what a football was, but he was making a point. Sometimes we got to get back and we got to get to the basics. We got to redefine who we are, what we're about. And so this morning, I want you to understand what the church, the local church, is supposed to look like, what it's supposed to do, its responsibility, and your relationship you're supposed to have with it. Okay? But let's start in Matthew chapter 16, famous passage of Scripture, verse 13. We'll start there. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, or the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. It wasn't time for that at that point. Something Jesus said here that's very important Of course, the Roman Catholic Church claims to be church. I'm sorry, it's a counterfeit. In fact, I love what Leonard Ravenhill said many years ago, the great revivalist. In 1959, he wrote in his book, Why Revival Tarries, he said that the Roman Catholic Church was the greatest forgery Lucifer ever made. They claim apostolic authority, they claim apostolic succession, they claim all these rights, and they try to use this verse. But again, you have to go to the Greek language. And when Jesus said, "Thou art Peter," he used the word petros, which means a little pebble, a little stone, little thing. But when he said, "Upon this rock," that's the word petra, meaning huge, massive mountain of rock. And what Jesus was saying there, upon what? What was he going to build his church? Upon the Apostle Peter? No. That's the lie of the Roman Catholic Church. He was saying there, I'm going to build my church upon the revelation, the supernatural Holy Spirit revelation in the hearts of my people that I am the way, the true life. That's what Jesus was saying. I am the Messiah, God in the flesh. The only one who could die and pay the price for sin. The only one who could be risen from the dead, sinless, spotless Lamb of God, right? That's the revelation. You have to have an inward revelation. It can't just be in your head. It can't just be because you heard a preacher say it. It can't just be because your mom and dad are Christians. It can't just be because somebody else, grandma or granddaddy's a Christian. It has to be because you have in your heart a supernatural revelation from the Holy Spirit who Jesus is. I had that happen to me when I was 11 years old. Dad took us to that little Baptist church and the evangelist came in. There was a revelation that happened in me that no, I couldn't explain it to you. There was it went from, we sat in that church for about a year and nothing had sunk in. But in that service, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that Jesus was the Son of the living God, that he was the way, the truth, and the life, the Messiah, the only way to be forgiven of sin, the only way to go to heaven and escape hell. That revelation became real in me as a child. And after that, even though I lived in sin, even though I rebelled, and even though I got into sexual immorality and drugs and alcohol and fighting, and even, you know, and of course, I didn't even know how I was supposed to live as I became a teenager. But here's the deal. That revelation never left me. I knew it. And that's why a lot of times I spent most of my teenage years being very depressed and miserable because, and I didn't know how to define it all, but it was because I had this revelation that Jesus was real, that he was really the true God, the way, the truth, the life, the Savior, that he was the way to escape going to hell and eternal judgment and go to heaven. And so when I was living in sin, I was miserable. My spirit was convicted, and I was miserable, and that's why I was always depressed, and that's why I was always trying to drink more, party more, have sex more, do more drugs. I was always trying to make myself feel better, but the problem was my depression and my misery on the inside was because I was going against the revelation of Jesus Christ that I already had within me. But that is the beginning of all foundation. I mean, that is the foundation. And that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, there is no other foundation that can be laid, speaking about the church and speaking about your own life. There is no other foundation that can be laid but Jesus Christ. It's not Allah. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha. It's not Krishna. There is no other foundation. Jesus Christ, the revelation of who he is, what he has done for you, that he is the only way to be saved from going to an eternal hell, fire, and damnation, torment, eternal torment, separation from God forever for our sins. Amen? He is the foundation of life. And he is the foundation of the true church. The true church It's not just about a group of people getting together and paying dues and having a fancy building. Country clubs do that. It's not a place where people come together and just talk about spiritual things but never experience them. Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. You didn't get this from just preaching and teaching. You didn't get this because just somebody told you. You got this because the Holy Spirit came in and upon you. And you knew inside of you it was true. True Christianity and the true church of Jesus Christ is about spiritual, supernatural touch and encounter and walk with God where you know it's real. There's no second, third generation salvation. You got to have it yourself. You're not going to heaven because mama saved. You're not going to heaven because daddy saved. You're not going to heaven because grandpa or mama or however, whoever you call them. You must have the revelation. But once you have it, what's next? See, that's why he said here, once you receive that revelation, the church, and let's look at this. Let's look at another thing real quick. This is why he said this. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. This one I think I sent you, Kevin. 1 Peter 3. And let's look at verse 15 and 16. Now here's what he said. Now this is in the midst of a chapter, or really of a couple of chapters, where the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is giving Timothy, a young pastor, an understanding of how the church is supposed to operate. And then he says this, verse 15, he says, but if I tarry long, basically saying that this letter is so you will know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I want this to stand out to you right here. I want you to see this. God wants us to know how to behave, not just in church, but as the church. Amen? So God wants us to know how to behave in the house of God, but then he tells us an important thing. Any true church is, and the true church of Jesus Christ, is the pillar and ground of the truth. Everybody say that. Pillar and ground of the truth. Now the truth is interesting here because what did I say last week? What is the truth? Jesus made this thing. John 14:6. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who died on the cross and rose from the dead, said, and he's the one that said, I'm the only way to the Father. He's the one that said, if you don't believe in me, you will die in your sin. He's the one that showed, if you don't repent and believe, you will be in eternal torment and fire. Luke 16. He's the one that said these things, right? So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. But in John 17, Jesus said, sanctify them or make them holy through thy word, the Bible, for thy word is truth. This right here. See, this is the written word, and Jesus Christ is the living word. Amen? The word logos is used to describe this book and Jesus himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But the word logos is the word, is a name or part of Jesus, and it also means the written word. Amen? That's why you cannot separate. You cannot separate Jesus Christ from the Bible. If you have a different Jesus than what the Bible says he is, then you do not have the Jesus of the Bible. You do not have the true Christ. And Paul warned us there would be people who would come along who would preach another Jesus. And they'd have another gospel and another spirit. Now let's look at this. It says that the church of the living God is the pillar and ground of the truth. Now I'm just going to say something that may sound bold, this or even over the top, but I'm just going to tell you this is what the Lord hit me with this morning. If a church, local church, does not teach, preach, and declare the whole truth of the Bible, and they are not the pillar and ground of the truth, they are a counterfeit. They are a wolf in sheep's clothing. If they don't teach you repentance of sin, if they don't teach you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if they don't teach you the gifts of the Holy Ghost, if they don't teach you the power of God and the power of Jesus Christ, that he still heals the sick, if they don't talk about casting out demons, if they don't talk about fighting demons and devils, if they don't talk about homosexuality is sin and abomination to God and will damn you to hell, if they don't talk about fornication and drugs and adultery, if they don't talk about sin, they don't talk about hell, they are not the true church of Jesus Christ. I don't care if thousands of people go to the church. They are a counterfeit. They're a fake. They're a phony. I'm sorry, folks. I know. Look, my first experience with God was in a little Baptist church. But I'm just going to tell you right now, that Baptist church denied much of these truths that are in the Bible. I'm not, that's not being mean. That's just the truth. My dad's here this morning. He can tell you. It was a good start. They gave the basic gospel message. But that did not make them the pillar and ground of the truth. Remember, a counterfeit dollar bill has to look just like a real dollar bill. Or it wouldn't fool you. But Dad went to that church. My dad went to that church after he was saved there, baptized there. He made the mistake of continuing to read the Bible. That horrible book of Acts. And he found out that believers should be baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak in other tongues, prophesy, heal the sick, cast out demons. Wait a minute, that's what it says here that Christians should be doing. So he went to the pastor of this little Baptist church and said, what about this, Acts chapter 2? And you know what the pastor told him? We don't talk about that. Now, to a young believer, you know what that did to him? That brought confusion, that brought uncertainty, that brought darkness in his life, and my dad fell away from God after that. It was years later that after I came back to the Lord and showed him that it was true, remember that? January 1988, showed him that Acts chapter 2 was real. Dad was baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. And that's when he rededicated his life to the Lord and his life was changed. But it was screwed up by a pastor who refused to preach and teach the whole truth. Listen, pastors, churches out there, if you hold back from preaching and teaching things in this book, you are a counterfeit. You're a phony. You're a fake. You're a hypocrite. And you're destroying people. You're making them stumble. The Roman Catholic Church, Mary is co-redeemer. Say your prayers to Mary. Show me that in the Bible, please. Show me that in the Bible. Show me in the Bible where we're to bow to statues of Mary or St. Michael or Pope John Paul II or Peter. Statues. It's a counterfeit church leading people astray. Bringing demons and darkness and wrong teaching air into their life so that they will stumble and fall into sin and be lost forever. Satan knows if you can't beat them, join them, and fool people. Right? I'm sorry, I just have to do it. Listen, Robert knows, recently, doing a little research. I won't name names this morning. Not all of them, anyway. But doing a little research, I'm just going to tell you guys. There's a big group of churches out here. Big group of churches. Big group of mega churches. Big group. And what it's looking like, that these people are connected to a paramilitary mercenary group, Blackwater, who are connected to Islam, who are funding the planting of churches. You mean Islam would fund a mercenary group named Blackwater that would then find some phony pastors to fund other pastors, give them money to help them plant churches across America? Yes, why would Islam give money, because they got plenty of it, oil money, billions and billions. Why would they do that? I'll tell you why they would do that. Because what they do is they fund pastors, churches who won't say anything about Islam, who won't tell the truth about Muhammad, who will stand up like Brian Houston of Hillsongs and say Christians and Muslims serve the same God. And then millions of Christians go, oh yeah, we do. And don't know, just a little research in your Bible and you find out Allah is Satan, another name for Satan, Lucifer. See, a lot of you don't know how dark and deceptive these people are. How many fake, phony mega churches are funded by the Jesuits of the Roman Catholic Church in order to water down, weaken Christianity? Because a lot of Christians are either ignorant of the scriptures or willfully ignorant. See, there's too many people that think gain is godliness. Remember Paul warned Timothy about that? Don't suppose gain is godliness. What was he saying? Don't get deceived by something just because it's big and looks like it has money and it's successful, that it's of God. God can bless something. God can move upon anything. I saw one of the greatest revivals in true church growth in the history of the church, the Brownsville Revival. It was an amazing thing. It was real. It was the Holy Ghost. But there's a lot of counterfeit churches out here, folks. Counterfeit. Set up by pastors who should never even take the name pastor. They went to a school infiltrated by Jesuits, Satanists, Islamic agents, and they taught them a weak, watered-down, false version of Christianity. And now America is full of them. Andy Stanley, Rick Warren. Oh, yeah, you say, well, now, I've heard them talk about Jesus. But yes, you'll hear them talk about Jesus once in a while. They'll give you a little bit. They have to give a little bit if they're going to get the naive Christians, the basket of gullibles, as what's his name? Who was that? I can't remember the guy's name now. But, yeah, as long as they'll come in and, you know, Give that money. We'll tell them whatever they want to hear. Right? Church is a pillar and ground of the truth. It's supposed to be. And let me tell you what that means. You guys ought to know, all of you ought to know this by now. The truth is not always pleasant. Right? If you have a church and a pastor, a fivefold ministry that tells you the truth, it's not always what you want to hear. Am I right? That's a good sign. Right? Well, Pastor Dean, some of the stuff you talk about scares us. Good. Some of the stuff makes me mad. It offends me. I don't like it. Good. That's healthy. That's true church. Right? Let me show you why that's true. Go to 2 Timothy. Because this defines the, again, the operation of the true church. The best sign of a true church is that you're uncomfortable if you have sin in your life. If you come into a church and you have some sin in your life, some idol, some sin you're holding on to, some darkness you're holding on to, and you come at your and you feel uncomfortable, miserable, and you want to run, that's a good sign. That's called conviction of the Holy Spirit. Right? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Again, Paul instructing a young pastor, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. What is he saying here? He's telling this young pastor of a true church, he's saying, preach the word of God, the Bible, and reprove and rebuke and exhort. You know what those words reprove and rebuke mean? They mean to admonish, to chastise, to correct, to instruct. They don't mean, even it even means to punish if need be. What is he saying? He's saying there, he's saying you do this. Don't ever cease being faithful to this, Timothy, because there's going to come a time when the people of God, when Christians can't handle, won't take the truth. They don't want to be rebuked. They don't want to be reproved. They don't want to be exhorted. They don't want the sound doctrine. They want the fluff and puff. You want fluff and puff? It's out there, man. I love the term. The Bible is so specific because it says they will heap to themselves. You know what the word heap means? It means there will be many choices. There's a buffet, right, of teachers out there that will tell you what you want to hear, not what you need to hear. Let me show you something. You can go ahead and put up some of these scriptures that I listed here. One of the most important things. We'll look at Proverbs 6:23 first. Proverbs 6:23. Here's how to keep yourself from being deceived and falling away and ended up in hell. And not just in hell, but your life in hell before you get to hell. This verse here, Proverbs 6:23, says it. For the commandment, speaking of the word of God, Old Testament and New, the commandment is a lamp. Well, what's that mean? Light in the darkness, right? You don't want to walk in darkness and stumble and trip and stump your toe and break your foot. You don't want to walk in darkness, you need the lamp. The lamp is the commandment of God, the word of God. So he says, for the commandment is a lamp And the law is light. Now listen to this. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproofs. Everybody see that? There's the verse. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now, what's interesting is the word reproof here. Let's look up the Hebrew word here, the definition of reproof. Reproofs. If a reproofs of instruction are a way of life, or the way of life, it's very important, isn't it? So reproof of instruction, this is what the word reproof means, and I think I gave you the definition. Okay. Anyway, here's the word. It's tokeol in Hebrew. And it means chastisement by words, correction, refutation, proof, argument, correction, reasoning, rebuke. So he's saying that the way of life, and notice he says are the way of life. Path of life, and there's a path of death. If you're on the path of life, then there's going to be plenty of reproof, correction, rebuke, instruction. But see, the normal human reaction to correction. Someone telling you you're wrong. The normal human reaction. None of us, including me, you, all of us, no one likes to hear it, do we? You do not want to hear you're wrong, you're in sin, that's incorrect, you're in error, you're going the wrong way. Nobody wants to hear that. But for the Christian, and if we're going to walk in the true church of Jesus Christ, and if we're going to be the true church of Jesus Christ, and if we're going to be in the way of life, then there's going to be plenty of this. Right? Tons of it. Let's look at some more verses. I'm going to give you some more. Proverbs 12:1. Look at this. And I'm going to prove you something here. You know, some people have criticized Pastor Dean for using the term stupid, calling people stupid. I'm going to show you the Bible does that. So I'm in good company. All right? Except the King James puts it nicely. But I'm going to give you the definition of the word. Proverbs 12:1 says this, whoso or whosoever loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. The word brutish in Strong's is moosaw. So you moosaw, you bunch of moosaws. Right. Here's the definition of moosaw. I'm sorry, that's instruction. I'm sorry. The brutish is bahar. Okay, I'm sorry. Y'all, bahar. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Here's what it means, to be stupid or foolish, all right? So brutish means stupid or foolish. So what he's saying here is, let's go back to our verse, Proverbs 12:1, whosoever loves instruction, and that is correction, teaching, loves knowledge. But he that hates reproof, rebuke, correction, chastisement, whoever hates that is stupid. That's why I say that all the time. Y'all think it's just Pastor Dean being mean, but it's the Holy Ghost. Right? Because people who don't want to hear the hard truth, whether it's personal, whether it's about your favorite church or your favorite denomination or your favorite celebrity preacher, if you don't want to hear the truth, it says, and you hate it, you are stupid, foolish. But it's even worse than that. Proverbs 15:5. Told you we're going to go through some scriptures today. And this is for you young people here this morning. Proverbs 15:5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Oh, Lord. Children, even us adults, the Bible tells us to honor our father and mother. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It even says, obey your parents, that your lives may be long upon the earth. Let me tell you something. Children, teenagers, young people, if you disregard, despise, reject the instruction and the counsel of your parents and elders God's put in your life, you are a fool, and you are stupid, and you may not live long. You certainly won't live forever in heaven. Rebellion to that authority, disregard to that relationship is rebellion, and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And witchcraft is a sin that puts you in hell. It is a sin of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, witchcraft means no person that practices witchcraft will inherit the kingdom of God. So you young people, if you're constantly disobeying your parents, your teachers, those in authority over you, and yes, stepmom, stepdad, if you're constantly disobeying, you are in rebellion, you are in witchcraft, and you are headed to hell. No other words for it. You better change your attitude and change your ways. You hear me? Parents shouldn't have to tell you something 2, 3, 4 times and you still not do it. Faith Marie and the rest of you. Understand? And I'll tell you something else. I remember years ago, just a little illustration. I had someone in my life that my dad was working with. I'm not going to name names, but you'll know. But you and I know, but that's all that matters. But he was working for this person, doing their books and their business. And he began to see things. Well, I knew this person. He began to see things that were wrong and shady. And at first, I didn't want to hear it. Right? But as I was starting to get my level of getting upset about it at him, the Lord reminded me, honor your father and mother and listen. Come to find out, every bit of it was true. And had I let my attitude rise up against my father, it would have hindered our relationship, and really, the other one was guilty, very guilty, right? So see, again, I tell people all the time, I'm not saying, you know, if an authority figure, if a pastor, if a parent, if a step-parent, a pastor, a parent, a teacher, somebody tells you to do something that's illegal, immoral, of course you don't do that. But they tell you, clean your room, clean your room. They tell you, don't go here, don't go there. If they tell you, don't go outside, you don't go outside. If they tell you, don't date this person, you don't date that person. Real simple. And you can go to church all day long, go to youth groups and Sunday school and sing in the choir and look like little Christianette. And you're a little devil, a little rebel. Let's keep going. More verses. Boy, they're just eating us up, aren't they? Pow, pow, pow. I'm in the way of life this morning, though. In the way of life. Right? Look, some of you are still here, and some of you could testify right now. You are still in this church, and you're still walking with the Lord because you received rebuke and correction, some directly from the Lord, some from me, some from other people, but you received it. You humbled yourself, and you received it. And I could list, there's a bigger list of people who didn't, who are now backslidden, divorced, and their lives destroyed. And some are dead. Okay? Now let's keep going. Proverbs 15, still, verses 31 through 33. Y'all don't mind this. This is more like a Sunday school class this morning, isn't it? Sweet little Sunday school class. Proverbs 15, 31 through 33. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Now, the word heareth here doesn't mean just to hear. There's a lot of people that hear. It goes in one ear, goes out the other, and they don't do it. This word means to hear, understand, and do, right? So he's saying he that heareth the reproof of life, the rebuke, the correction, the instruction, abideth among the wise. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul. Meaning, if you won't receive the teaching of God's truth, the truth of the Bible, the truth about sin, the truth about Jesus, the truth about heaven and hell, the truth about morality, if you won't receive instruction and truth, then it says you despise your own soul. Basically, you hate yourself. Why do you think people cut themselves and kill themselves? Because they hate themselves. Why do they hate this themselves? Because they're miserable, because they will not listen to anyone telling them the truth. Then he finishes, he says, he that refuses instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor there is humility. So listen, one of the prerequisites to humility, you cannot have humility unless you're willing to receive correction, reproof, and instruction and say, you know what, you're right, I'm wrong, I'm going to correct this. Humility, admit, yes, I'm wrong. And we've all been wrong once or twice, right? Listen, we're all still trying to figure this stuff out. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been saved. There's things you still trying to do right and figure out in marriage, in raising kids, and I mean, just everything. That's why you got to stay in the Bible. You know what the Bible says in James chapter 1? He says to stay, continue in the Scriptures, because he calls the Scriptures a mirror. And what he says is if you leave the mirror too long, you know what you end up looking like. You don't even know what you look like. And that's what he says. He said, you walk away from the mirror, you forget what manner of person you are. You have snot hanging from your nose and look in the mirror to see, okay, what's wrong here? What do I need to fix? And that's what going studying the Bible and spending time in prayer and getting in a church that'll tell you the truth helps you get that mirror back up so you can see what's really real, what's really going on in my life. Who am I? Where's the dirtiness, the filthiness that needs to be cleaned off? And sometimes, I'm telling you, most people don't want to look in that mirror because they don't want to see the truth. Man, there's so many more of these scriptures we go through. Now, I want to tell you this, getting back on the subject of church. Everybody go with me to Hebrews. I'll tell you what. Hold that thought. We will go to Hebrews. Let's go to 1 John chapter 12. I mean, everybody knows Hebrews 10:25 anyway, right? Somebody tell me what that is without looking. Who knows what Hebrews 10:25 says? Right, no cheating. Who can just tell me? What is it? Oh, Lord, I hadn't taught y'all well enough, Alice. Oh, we have things to learn. Hebrews 10:25 says this about Christians. It says that we are to not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But it much more, it says exhorting one another much more as we see the day approaching, right? The word ekklesia is the Greek word for church. Ekklesia. And what it means is twofold. It means the called out ones that God's called out unto himself that's answered that call and been born again. They've answered the invitation of Jesus, right? But it also means those who assemble together. They come out and assemble together as a group. Amen? Right? Okay. So he says there, Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Now this, of course, is used also by the counterfeit churches and by the churches that are in apostasy to try to make people attend church. And let me say this, because there are people out there listening right now to us across the country. They're listening through the radio. They listen and they watch through Facebook, through YouTube. There's a lot of them out there that don't go to a church because they can't find a true one. That is a sad but very real situation. Because either their area they live in are full of churches that won't teach the whole truth, or churches that are counterfeits, or churches that are mega churches that are so watered down and weak, it's just worthless to go to a church. So I understand there's a lot of people out there who have given up on trying to find a church in their area. And so this is not condemnation. Because those people, some of them are very sincere people, and they mean, they're not rebelling against God's word. They just cannot find what they're looking for, the truth. But God wants you to somehow, if it has to be, through the technology we have now, he wants you to seek out and find some group of people, some church, some fivefold minister that's telling you the truth. And that's one thing. I will say this. I get a lot of emails. I get a lot of phone calls. I get a lot of Facebook messages and things from people saying thank you for being a pastor, a minister that will tell us the truth. So I know there's a bunch of people out there hungry and thirsty. They want rebuke. They want reproof. They want correction and instruction. They want it the right way and can't find it. And that's how backslidden and in apostasy a majority of churches are in America. But still, if you can find it, if you can find a fivefold minister, if you can find a group of people, if you can find a church that will tell you the whole truth, nothing but the truth, give you rebuke, correction, instruction, that's not ashamed of the whole Bible, you better find it, and you better get there, and you better go there. Amen? It'll save your life. For some, it'll save your marriage. For some of it, it'll save your kids. See, a lot of people have a negative attitude about the church. I don't. Not the true ones. The true ones are the pillar and ground. You know what the pillar, why do you use the term pillar? The ground is the foundation. He used the term pillar because how did God guide the children of Israel in the wilderness? He was a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He was basically saying, that's how you're going to know. That's how you're going to receive guidance. And I know a lot of people think, oh, I don't need the church, just me and Jesus. That's not what God said. That's why I told you to turn to 1 Corinthians. What? Did I say 1 John? I said 1 Corinthians 12. There is no 1 John 12. I meant 1 Corinthians 12. I'm sorry. It happens sometimes. I'm tired. I got carpet dust brain like Robert. Well, we worked hard this week. Whew. Appreciate all those of you who helped us. Man, couldn't have done it without you. All right. Y'all there? Now, he's talking about the church here, right? Let's just go up. Oh, there's so much here. Verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. We'll start there. Right after he talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he says, "For as the body, or the church, is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? And now God hath set members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" Now let's drop down a little bit. Verse 27. He says, "Now ye are the body of Christ," or the church, "and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles," and this means in rank. Everybody say, there is a rank. So he says, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, which would fall also pastors. After that, miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, yet I show you a more excellent way." So God said in the church, he has a rank, he has an order. So the church, the true church, has leadership, fivefold leadership. Let's go. I'm going to define this very quickly. We're going to get out of here. Ephesians chapter 4. What's amazing is how many churches and pastors deny the very truth in this. Well, let me get there. Goodness, my pages. Ephesians 4. Everybody there? He says this, speaking of Jesus, verse 11, Ephesians 4:11. "And he, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ or the building of the church, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth." All right, the church, the true church, the true local church, we'll have a God-called fivefold minister of the gospel. Now, you can like that. You can not like that. But if it doesn't, I hear people all the time say, "Oh, if three Christians get together, that's church." No, that's part of the body and they're getting together. That's not church. If that group has no leadership, God-called leadership, it is not a church. It's fellowship. But it's not a church. Because we got a lot of people out there that are rebels that think, "Oh, we can get together in my house, the three of us, and that's church." No, it isn't. One of you better have a call of a fivefold minister on you, and maybe it is then. Oh, Pastor Dean. Sorry. A church contains really a fivefold minister that usually has a dual calling. He is usually either an apostle and a pastor, or a prophet and a pastor, or a pastor and a teacher. He is called by God. It has nothing to do with what Bible school they went to, has nothing to do with what degree or they may or may not have. It has to do with the call of God to that office. And God has set an order, and within that, in church, within a true church, there is an order. And I believe that all fivefold ministries are still in operation today, because I don't know about you, but has the church, even the true church of Jesus Christ, have we all matured yet? Have we all come in unity yet? So he said that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers were until that happened. But we got preachers out there, pastors out there, churches out there, saying, well, there's no more ministry of an apostle today. There's no more ministry of a prophet today. Isn't it amazing, though, they can accept the pastor and the evangelist and the teacher, but they cut those other two out. Ridiculous, folks, ridiculous. Right? So if you don't have that, I mean, I know some young guys that think they're all that in a bag of chips because they go out in the street and preach, but they have no elders, they have no leadership, they have no church, and they don't want to find one. You're a rebel, and I don't care how big and bad and smart you think you are or how spiritual you think you are, because you're a street preacher, you're not a church, and you're out of order. Oh, but churches don't go preach the gospel on the street. Guess what? That's not what the church is for. Church is to build the body of Christ, to teach and instruct and edify. And then the body of Christ reaches. If you're an evangelist, that's fine. You're going to be evangelist and be out there, you better have a pastor, a prophet, an apostle, an elder in your life. Better have a church home, or you're just out there dangling by yourself. Hey, Pastor Dean, I don't like to hear that. Sorry. Let me show you something else. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. I'm almost done. I'm allowed 3 or 4 closings as a Pentecostal preacher. Right? Hebrews 13. We're going to read 2 passages here in the same chapter. These little rebels out here that don't want a church and don't want elders, they have a problem with these verses. Verse 7, he says here, remember them that have the rule over you. What? Wait a minute now. I'm an American. I'm free. Nobody has a rule over me. No, if you're a Christian and you're part of a local church, you're to submit to the authority and rule, the fivefold ministry and elders that God puts there. That's truth. But, you know, we Americans, I mean, look at what's going on right now. All protest, that's just rebellion to the legitimate system of authority that we have set up. Now, it can be flawed as it is, but it's still the system we have. It is still the law of the land. And all this protest is rebellion to authority. But he says here, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. You mean I'm supposed to follow somebody? I thought I was only supposed to follow Jesus. Is that what this says? Remember those who have spoken the word of God to you, those that have the rule over you, those who are, remember, and follow their faith, right? Considering the end of their behavior, meaning, you know what that means? I mean, you don't follow anybody, but once you've considered, do they live the Christian life? Are they full of the Holy Ghost? Do they pray? Do they hear from God? Once you determine the behavior of a leader,
that they are truly called, that they truly hear, that they truly discern, that they truly walk with God and try to obey the scriptures. Once you figured it out, guess what? You follow. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. It's not wrong for a pastor to say, hey, follow me. I'm going after Jesus. I'm going after the Word of God. I'm going after the truth. I'm going after to do it right. Follow me. Go with me. It's not wrong. Again, see, I can already feel it grating against people, even talking like this. There's such a rebellious spirit, a resistance to authority built into us. And then he tells you why. He says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Right? Now let's jump over to verse 17. In the same chapter, he says this. Oh, this is a painful word. Obey. The most painful word for rebellious humans. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is an unprofitable for you. Obey. Nobody likes that. How many times do I say to my own children, just obey. Obey God. But this says here, don't just obey God, obey them that have the rule over you in the Lord, right? Submit yourself. Submit yourself to elders. Hear what I'm about to say. Matthew 10, I think it's verse 40 or 41. And I'm just going to flip there so I can read it. You can flip there with me too if you want to. Maybe 40 and 41. Yet Jesus said, verse 40 and 41, Matthew 10, he said, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. See, our problem, a lot of our problem today, is we're not able to receive whom Jesus sends to us, and we're not able to receive people as the authority and the calling that God's put on them. And so we really cheat ourselves out of things. Now, I remember years ago when I was a young man, I was in my early 20s and really looking for godly spiritual elders and leaders. And I remember when I found a true New Testament apostle and prophet, Gene May. I never forget when I met him and I kind of said, wow, this is something special. I've never met anyone before or since who flowed in the office, in the apostolic office, in the prophetic office like Gene. Never. And I want to tell you, when I submitted myself to him as an elder, when he ordained me, and really it was several years, it was years after I first met him and he ministered to me in the service and I received him as a prophet. And let me tell you, because I remember November of 1989 was the first meeting I went in. And the man prophesied over me. He had never met me before. He'd never seen me before. He prophesied over me. He nailed everything that I'd been doing, everything that God called me to do, everything that God had spoken to me. I mean, he mapped it out. And everything he said that would happen in my life has happened. I still have the cassette tape from that day. And I'm going to tell you, receiving that man as a prophet in my life, I received the prophet's reward. I know that as I submitted to him and listened to him and respected him and received his ministry, that the gifts, the prophetic gifts, would be given to me in a similar way and operate through me in a similar way. I remember the day that the after the ordination, and he laid hands on me and ordained me to the ministry, that from that point on, the gift of prophecy and the other gifts, prophetic gifts, that were already working in my life, it was like they were multiplied times 10. And I remember being able to go to him when I had some difficult times and some difficult decisions to make. And still to this day, if I have a difficult decision or a difficult situation in this church and I need counsel, I can go call him and say, hey, what should I do? And I'm going to tell you, if he says, this is what you should do, that's what I'm going to do. And he's done it before. This is what you should do. And I say, yes, sir, that's what I'm going to do. And it was the right thing to do. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying you don't hear from God for yourself. You do. But God speaks through the authorities he sets up in your life. Young people, he speaks through your parents. God speaks. God is, many times when God is saying, do this, or your parents are saying, do this or do this, God's speaking through them. I've seen parents go, I don't know why, but I just felt like my child should not go to this party or to this place or whatever. You better listen. That's God speaking through. With wives sometimes, your husband may not even realize why. Just you want to go do something or you want to go to this place, and your husband just said, I just don't feel like you should. Don't keep pushing. That's God speaking through, trying to protect you. When your pastor says, hey, this is a problem, hey, this is an issue, or hey, you better watch out for this, you should never, ever take that lightly. God speaks through authority. Young people, I'm telling you, I know you think you're becoming an adult, and you're an adult, or you think you're an adult and you think you know. But if you cannot listen to elders and adults and people, whether it be your pastors, teachers, parents, if you can't listen and humble yourself and admit that you don't know it all and just do what you're told, you're headed for trouble. Big, 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 big trouble. I know. So, being part of the church ain't always happiness and fun. Right? You know what I tell people all the time, sooner or later, I tell new people too all the time, sooner or later I'm going to offend you. It's you. But I promise you, I can promise you this. I really don't want to control anyone's life. But I have given a responsibility to tell you the truth, to give you what the Lord tells me, to give you what I discern. You do with it what you may. You know, I tell everybody, nobody's keeping you prisoner here. You can vote with your feet. But I know this much. I love you and care about you. I want you to be okay. I want to protect you from the wolves. I want to protect you from the lies and the deception. I want to protect you from the demonic attacks. I want to protect you from destroying yourself. I want to do everything I can to help you. So what I'm saying is, I assure you that even when I have to get rough or strong or pointed or sound mean. It's because I love you and I care about you. Not out to, listen, y'all ought to know, I know I'm not getting rich from this church. I'm not out to get rich. I'm not out for money. I'm not out for the biggest church in town. I'm just out to make sure that the people whom God's brought into my path to be their pastor, their elder, their minister, that I see you through to the end and you end up in heaven and you get through some battles here on this earth and win some battles and not lose them all. Amen? All right. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you. Lord, everyone in this room at some point, I believe, has already received correction and instruction and began to make changes in their lives. And Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I know there's already humility working in people, every person. But there's always, always areas we need to grow. We need to drive out pride and the flesh. And we need to understand what the church is and how the church is supposed to operate and what's a true church and what's a counterfeit church and what's a true pastor and what's a sold out, a compromised pastor, I should say. Lord, I ask you to bless these people here, those listening, watching, especially the ones that want so long to find a church that will tell the truth. God, I pray you help your people. We live in a very perilous times, dangerous times, a time of great deception. Many people, the deceivers, name the name of Jesus, and they're deceivers. So, Lord, I ask you to give your people discernment. Give your people humility. Give your people an ability to hear both the good and the reproof and rebuke and the instruction. Lord, I pray for this now in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. Well, were you uncomfortable at all today? Y'all know I love you, right? All right. Well, I tell you what. Let's stand. We're just going to get out of here today. Let's stand. And if you have a tithe or offering this morning, you know to just drop it in the basket. Glad everybody made it this morning. Y'all pray for us. We got to get Dad over to Montgomery in just a little bit. Him heading back to Tennessee. Trey, would you pray and dismiss us this morning?
I'm gracious, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the word that was preached today, our Father. So we ask you to enlighten our heart with the message that we